Looking at the very preliminary lineups for the 114th Congress on Pentagon Solutions today, Alan Schwatkin's Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council. And Alan, there's still a lot of moving parts. And even though we mostly have the results that we will see and know who the people will be in the 114th Congress, there are still some seats that are yet to be filled. And it won't be for a while. But here's what we know so far. We'll start on the Senate side because that's the one that people seem to be most talking about the most today. A new chair of the Senate Armed Services Committee expected to be Senator McCain from Arizona. A new ranking member, but we don't know who that will be yet because Senator Jack Reed, who is most likely in line for it, may go and become the ranking member of the Banking Committee. So with all these parts moving around, is it still too early to be able to figure out how all of this might affect the defense vendor community when the new Congress comes in?
Francis, thanks for the opportunity to join you. And yes, in part, it's a little bit too early because obviously the chair and or the ranking member has a huge impact on the agenda. Furthermore, the membership of the key subcommittees will also have a critical role in setting the short-term and long-term agendas. But the core work, we know that what has to be done. This is not the first time there's been a transition, so we'll be prepared.
That's the part of it, too, that I think is important to understand is the staffs will change a teeny bit, mostly distribution-wise, but just the sheer number of jobs that are available for minority versus majority staff. But among the core veteran members of those staffs, will those people stay in place, and so will there be at least that level of continuity, or will Senator McCain, for example, bring in Republican staff that he chooses rather than that Senator Inhofe had as the ranking member?
There'll be a significant change in staff. I mean, the transition from majority to minority is significant. Obviously, with Senator Levin departing, the ranking member, Senator Reed, Senator Nelson, whomever takes that over, certainly has some familiarity with the current majority staff, but always wants their own. Senator McCain taking over will not necessarily retain most of the staff that Senator Inhofe had when he was the ranking member. So I think rather than transition a tiny bit on staff, there's going to be a significant change in the staff. It'll take a while. Senator McCain won't start out with a full complement of the staff that he would ultimately like to have. So there'll be some buildup over time.
My excellent chart, as laid out by my colleague Sean McCauley, tells me that Senator Dick Durbin of Illinois is currently the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Defense Subcommittee, and Senator Thad Cochran is the ranking member. Obviously, they'll at least flip, and there might be two new players there because Senator Cochran may go ahead and become the chairman of the full Appropriations Committee. So, again, a lot of pieces flying around, and I would tend to guess then from your previous answer, it's too early to tell what impact all of this might have.
Here again, a little different appropriations, a little different history. The clerks, the senior staff members for each of those tend to have some longevity. So my guess is that Senator Durbin will try to keep as many of the partisan staff as he can. Many of the investigative staff and are more nonpartisan and be able to continue on their work. So a flip from minority to ranking member to chair, in case of Senator Cochran or Durbin going from chair to ranking, might not have as big an impact on the staffs or on their direct work because they've been working together. And it would not be unusual for Senator Cochran to chair the full Appropriations Committee in the Senate as well as the Defense Subcommittee. Other chairs have done that as well.
And it certainly would be make sense given the presence of the defense industry in Mississippi, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Alan Schwatkin's the Executive Vice President of the Professional Services Council. The House side, there's a little bit of a battle at the House Armed Services Committee, but only a little bit. Congressman Mac Thornberry has been the prohibitive favorite to become the chairman there. Congressman Randy Forbes announced last week, told Politico that he was going to challenge Congressman Thornberry, but I don't think there's anybody that thinks that he'll be successful in that. What does a changeover there mean, transitioning from Chairman McKeon to Chairman Thornberry? Because my sense of it was that that they worked together very well and had a very close relationship and are also close kind of worldview-wise how they look at the defense industry and the Defense Department.
Well, that's a true statement. Senator Congressman Thornberry was the vice chairman of the full committee and took on a number of lead responsibilities for Mr. McKeon. But Mr. McKeon isn't there anymore. And so Mr. Thornberry, as the chair, he'll have to get through an election for that chairmanship by the Steering and Policy Committee of the Republican Conference. We can handicap that race separately. You already have. But the fact that he had a good working relationship with Mr. McKeon doesn't necessarily mean that he'll have a great that he'll even establish a vice chairmanship position on the committee or will know how he works. He, too, had a good working relationship with Congressman Adam Smith of Washington State, who was a ranking member and I assume will remain as ranking member. But they're going to have a whole new committee. Many of the members, some of the race is still undecided. The makeup of the committee, both in terms of numbers and political demographics, is going to change. It's going to put some other burdens on the chairman to run a committee that way.
One of the elements of the changeover there that I think bodes well for the defense industrial community, the defense industrial base, is the cooperative, collegial relationship between Congressman Thornberry and Frank Kendall, the ATL at the Defense Department. They've been doing a lot of work together on this this task force or committee that Senator Thornberry's led to look at defense acquisition reform. And all of the conversations I hear come out of that, all the quotes revolve around the fact that those two men agree on a lot of things. Is that a fair read on my part?
Well, I think they have a shared view of both the challenges and the importance of making some significant changes to the acquisition process. But I think the agreement stops at that point. And I don't believe that Mr. Thornberry has adopted a view of what actions he will take. The common view of a problem doesn't translate automatically into a common view of a solution. And again, Mr. Thornberry won't be the only person to decide that. The makeup of his committee will have a significant influence in that as well. Plus, as chairman, remains to be seen whether he'll continue to have this as his high personal priority. I hope he does, because he's invested a lot of time, a lot of learning in that process. But as the chairman, he has other responsibilities he'll have to take on that he did not have when he was merely the vice chair.
Do we get any sense from any of these personalities and any of these bodies of work of these members as these transitions happen, Alan, that dramatic changes will happen with the agendas of either of these committees, either the House and Senate Armed Services Committees or the Appropriations Subcommittees, Defense Subcommittees on either side of the Hill?
I don't have that sense yet, but I would imagine that the oversight work will increase, particularly in the short term. And here again, I think the challenge of how to continue to find support, the affordability, the structure of the military, how it responds to various activities, will run up against the very real constraints of the budget and appropriations limitations in the budget cycle that have vexed prior Congresses. So the new members coming in can't break with that past, and they'll be stuck with having to find a way to operate and operationalize within those top-line constraints.